Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
I want to talk to you tonight about that which the Apostle Paul called the first commandment with promise. In the book of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." The Bible student will immediately recognize that this was one of the Ten Commandments that God gave to the people of Israel through Moses when they were at Mount Sinai. And so throughout the Israelite history, they were to be guided and governed by this, among many other laws that God had given them. The commandment to honor father and the mother. The Apostle Paul, in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." So we see in both the Old Covenant as well as the New Covenant of Jesus Christ, the Lord taught that we are to honor our parents. The privilege of being a parent is one of life's greatest blessings. In Psalms 127, verses 3 through 5, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them, and they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Yes, in spite of all of the duties and indeed heavy duties that are imposed upon a father and mother, this is a task and a work, but dear friend, it is a glorious one, is it not? Now, not all are parents, we realize that, but all have parents. And the passages of Scripture that I read to you are directed, therefore, to us all, because we all do have parents. There is a God-given responsibility that every child has to his father and mother. And tonight we would insist that these responsibilities, though they change as life continues and as one's role in life changes, this responsibility toward parents to honor father and mother is not just confined to the days when children are what we call minors, or just to the time when they are under our roof and are at home. Folks, it is a lifelong responsibility. Now, God says the child is to honor the parent. That means to love the parent, to respect the parent, to hold the father and mother in very special and high regard. To honor means to have a very deep and sincere feeling in the heart that clearly demonstrates itself and expresses itself in actions and in attitudes toward those who are fathers and mothers. We want to stress, this is a very basic element in both the Old and the New Testament. And as I mentioned to you this morning in telling you of the forthcoming lesson, here we see the good order of the home is dependent upon these commands being obeyed and respected. Our homes, generally speaking, in this country are in disarray. That's not true of every home. It is true of too many homes, to such an extent that the very foundation of society, of which the home is the basic unit, is very much in danger of coming apart at the seams, as it were. And the right kind of home, it is a responsibility of parents to have the right kind of home. But it's not just the responsibility of parents to have the right kind of home. It is also the responsibility of young people. I've heard it said that you can't preach to young people, and I would think that that would be very offensive to young people to draw such a conclusion as that, because I am convinced that young people want and appreciate, indeed expect, and will respond to the preaching of the Word of God. I know that so because God has commanded it to be done. Young people are not indignant toward the things that Christ has taught. They are creatures, and we are to preach to every creature. They need to hear God's truth just like everybody else does. And I would think that a young person would consider it a real put-down. A put-down of their intellect, of their concern, of their interest, and indeed of their values. To ever say, you can't preach to young people. Indeed, young people need the preaching of truth. Now, no child can successfully imitate Jesus Christ unless that child is obedient and respectful to his father and mother. Now, we know that Joseph was not actually the father of Jesus, but he was the husband of Mary. And the Bible does speak of him in the sense of being the father of Jesus because he was the husband of Mary, his mother. And Jesus was obedient and respectful unto them. In Luke 2 and verse 51, it tells us that Jesus, and keep in mind whom we're speaking, we're talking about the Son of God, having taken on the form of flesh. We're talking about our Savior. We're talking about the one who set the example in whose footsteps we are to follow. It is said of him in that passage that he was subject unto them. The next verse tells us that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature in favor of God and man. Surely if Jesus grew, as he did, in favor with God, he was respectful and obedient to the command of God in the law of Moses under which he lived to honor his father and mother. It is very significant that even after Jesus had reached maturity, even when he came to the time of the cross, one of the statements of Christ from the cross was concerning the care for his mother. In John the 19th chapter, beginning with verse 25, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home." Friend, as you analyze and study the condition and the situation in which these words were spoken, it was soon to be obvious that Jesus could not possibly care for Mary, but he was concerned about her welfare, concerned that she would be cared for, and as was custom as to the writing that John used here, we determined that John is that disciple whom Jesus loved, and Jesus committed the care of his mother to John. The important point that we want to make here, that Jesus, as an adult, took interest, took concern, took care, made provision for, assured the welfare of his mother. Again, we would say that no child can successfully imitate Christ unless he is both obedient and respectful and careful toward his parent. And that Jesus could not dispense with that. Certainly we are in no position to dispense with that. Now Paul in Ephesians 6 says that children are to obey the parents, and he gives this reason. For it is right. It is the right thing, according to the Holy Spirit, for children to obey their parents. Now it's easy for us to see that if it is right for children to obey their parents, then it is certainly wrong for children to disobey their parents. And to disobey one's parent is more than just disobeying father or mother. Inasmuch as this is God's command, the child that does not obey father and mother is also disobedient unto God. Is it not true that it is in the home where children first come in contact with the necessity to be obedient and to show respect for proper authority? How fortunate is that child who has a father or mother that loves them enough to insist that they respect the authority over that child. And God has placed the parent with authority over the child. Pity that child who is allowed to grow up, and father and mother does not insist that they look to them as authority figures, that father and mother will not command that child to be obedient and insist that child be obedient. One of the grave problems of many of our young people today is that fathers and mothers have failed them in teaching them that they are under authority. They are expected to conform to that authority. They are to be obedient to that authority. And the child that doesn't learn that at home, he has a hard time when he gets to school. And a child that doesn't learn it at home and at school, and it's not primarily the responsibility of the school to teach children to be obedient. It's the primary responsibility of the home. It is unfortunate to my way of thinking that the school and those of the school have somewhat been handcuffed by certain do-gooders of our society to not be able to properly discipline children when they show rebellion and disobedience. But the primary responsibility does not rest with teachers, though they should be given the allowance to exercise proper authority over them. It's the duty of father. It's the duty of mother. And children who run into difficulties with the laws of the land and defy authority, they learned that they didn't come into this world defiant and disobedient. They will either learn to be obedient or they'll learn that they can disobey and get away with it. And it will inevitably catch up with them, and they find themselves in more difficulties than sometimes they can retrieve themselves. It's your duty. It's your responsibility. God is looking to you, father and mother, to train your child in the way that he should go. And if you fail the child in that, you have indeed sinned against the child. And on the other hand, children are to obey the directions and the instructions of their parents. Now, sometimes, some of you I'm sure can relate to this. If you have got little bitty children, you haven't run into it yet. But they're not going to stay little bitty very long. They will soon get to the point where they think they know more than you do. In fact, they are confident of it. It's always been that way with my wife's children. And I think it's always been that way with your children when they reach a certain age. That's not all bad. Because who would want to cripple our children to make them forever dependent upon us? We want them to be able to grow and to learn to stand on their own feet. I like this. It's an ad that comes over the radio or somewhere about this fellow. The father calls him. It's an AT&T ad, by the way. Have any of you heard it besides me? That this fellow, he calls up and he's trying to get him to call home more often. And he said, "Dad, I don't want to come home. After all, I'm 38, and I guess after a time, you expect them to be able to stand on their own feet. But sometimes they think they can stand on their own feet long before they're able to fly." And you'll hear them say, and your teenagers will say, if they're like most teenagers, "I want you to treat me like an adult." You ever hear that? If you haven't, just wait a while. You will. "I want you to treat me like an adult." Now, my precious young people, I'm not putting you down, but I want to ask you a question. Why should we? Why should we? You know, we've gotten the twisted idea that children are just little adults. They're not little adults, they're children. Why, from everything to sports to behavior, we expect children to act like adults. You may think this is a slanderous statement to be made about the values and attitudes of some, but you know, children in kindergarten now wear caps and gowns to get out of kindergarten. This is just an example now. I'm not saying that's wrong. If you're that foolish to want to do that, that's all right. But now, have caps and gowns. I worked 16 years to get a cap and gown. I didn't even like it when I got it. But you treat them like they've already arrived before they've hardly gotten started. If you don't believe that there are many parents who are looking upon their children as if they are little adults, you just go to a little league ball game. They expect them to get out there and act like professionals, never make a mistake, and the children can't enjoy it because father and mother are yelling at them so. You're not supposed to drop the ball. You're supposed to knock it over the fence. You're supposed to throw a strike every time.
You're not supposed to be put out. Where do you think they are? Adults? And then when it comes time for dating privileges, some parents got no more sense than to allow a 12 and 14-year-old dating privileges that wouldn't even belong to an 18 and 20-year-old. They think they're already little adults. They're not little adults. They're young people that have not reached adulthood yet. They're growing that way, but they're not there yet, folks. Why? I want you to treat me like an adult. Why? You're not an adult. Do you have the wisdom of an adult? Do you have the experience of an adult? Can you assume the responsibilities of an adult? Are you self-disciplined, as a mature adult must be? Are you self-supporting like an adult? Now, that'll break it off in them right there. Are you with the capacity to make decisions on an adult level? Young people, don't push life too fast. God expects you to be obedient to your parents. He doesn't expect of you what He expects of adults, nor does He allow to you what He may allow of adults. So don't expect to be treated like an adult until you reach adulthood. And parents, please, for the sake of the child, for decency and common sense, don't treat your children like they are adults. They're not. They're human beings, yes. Treat them with fairness, courtesy, kindness, love, like you would anybody. And especially more so because they're your children. Don't expect them always to behave like an adult. In fact, if some behavior of adult, you better hope they never do. But don't expect of them things that it's not proper to even expect of them. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right. Now, young people, there's not any way to get around that, and I don't think you would want to get around that. Honor thy father and thy mother. And now I want to make another point. Grown children who have reached adulthood, they also owe parents honor and love, respect and care, and whatever else might be needed. Because the honoring of parent does not cease when the child leaves home and begins to embark upon his path rather independently. My wife and I have often laughed at one another, saying that we have just about worked ourselves to death to try to keep our children independent. And if you stop and think about that a few minutes, you know that sometimes you just have to keep on keeping on trying to keep them independent. Well, if they're independent, they have to stand up by themselves, and you want them to do that. But when they walk out of that house or that home and they are independent, their responsibility to parents and our responsibility to parents, it does not stop with that change of role in life. You know, it's a tragedy that some young people leave home out of disrespect for their parents because of rebellion against the parent. They leave home despite the parents, to show contempt for parents and for parental authority, rebelling at rules and regulations. Others leave home, and maybe they go off, they marry, they have their families. There's nothing unusual about that. That may be well entirely proper. But as for their parents, they don't call them. They don't write them. They seldom visit them. They pretty well ignore them. They act as if they don't have much time for them. Now, how are you going to square that with the teaching to honor father and mother? And that's not just applicable to people who sometimes live long distances. That sometimes is the conduct of people who don't live very far from father and mother, but they don't inquire about them. They don't visit them. They don't have the expressions of love and of thanks for them. I've seen grown children, and I'm sure you have too, who show a tremendous post-mortem love at the funeral home, but that won't make up for the neglect of attention and care for your parents while they're yet alive. And I am confident, because I've witnessed it more times than a few, a funeral sometimes is an exercise for some in deep regret for their neglect. But now, look forward. The day is going to come when you won't have to make excuses about being too busy to attend to your parents. There are days coming when all of your pressing commitments won't interfere at all, won't make you feel guilty about ignoring your parents, because they'll be gone. Then you won't have to worry about it. But the sadness is that they will have died without receiving love and respect and attention and care from their very own children. You can't hardly think of anything that's much sadder than that. You know, it's often true that in the evening years of life, parents are very dependent. In fact, they are very lonely. And what a tragedy it is when a dependent and lonely parent is pushed into the background and almost ignored, looked upon as a burden, when it is so easy, with just a little love and consideration, to brighten their day. This is a part of honoring father and mother, is it not? It is right. It is Christ-like. It is God's will. And it's the first commandment with promise. It is for our benefit as well as theirs and to the glory of God that we honor father and mother. Tell me, dear friend, will not obedience to these teachings such as I am trying to present to you tonight improve our homes? Will they not improve our society? Will they not make our families more as God would have our families to be? Now, don't rush out to the telephone till I get through to call them, but it might not be a bad idea that you do that before the evening's over. In fact, I knew I could preach this sermon a little better if I called a mother before I came, and I did. So, you see, my halo is shining. But you can't neglect your parent and feel an even conscience in your own heart, can you? And friend, honoring parents includes giving the appropriate care and aid when they need it. It seems like it doesn't ever occur to some people how much parents have sacrificed for them. I doubt that during my younger days I could have even comprehended how much my father and mother sacrificed on my behalf. They certainly did. And it was not until I had precious children of my own that I could realize the call of sacrifice of parents to help provide for their children. But, you know, a lot of parents are dependent upon their children for their very sustenance of life. And this is because possibly they were not even able to lay by for their later years because they expended everything they had and could get a hold of to feed and clothe and care for and educate their children. Who took care of us, folks, when we were helpless? Who comforted us in our distress? Who nursed us in our sickness? Who provided the nourishment, the food that we needed when we could not have provided it for ourselves? Who prayed for you in every situation in your toward your maturity? Who provided for you as best they possibly could, and we all probably took it for granted? And they did it because they loved you, not merely out of a sense of duty, for the most part. And parents are not perfect. Honor thy father and mother because parents are perfect? Not at all. But did your parents have perfect children? And should we expect to look upon the lives of our parents to have been perfect? Imperfections do not allow us to disregard our mother and father. One of the problems that Jesus had when he was dealing with the Pharisees is that they attempted to bypass their responsibility toward their parents in a very unique but hypocritical way. We read about this in Mark, the 7th chapter. Let me read it to you. He said unto them, "Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition." And then he explains what he's talking about. "Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth the father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father and his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which ye have delivered. And many such like things ye do." Now what was this? Let's look at this word Corban. They declared certain material possessions of theirs as Corban. In other words, they had given this, they said, devoted to the service of God in some religious fashion. Therefore, They didn't have, they said, what was necessary to provide for parents even in need. That which could have been used for parental care was given somewhere else. Jesus said, in doing that, you have made God's word of none effect. Now, God expects fathers and mothers to be cared for. And the very first element of society that is to attend to the needs of father and mother, utilizing every kind of avenue that you can to be sure and that which is most expedient for their care, God expects children to see to it that their parents are provided for. And He's looking to us first, before anybody else. Now we know that those that do not provide for their own, Paul says, they're worse than infidel. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. And in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 4, he says, we're to show piety at home and to requite to our parents. That word requite means to pay benefit to our parents. I know it's the will and the desire of nearly all of us who are parents to never become what we would call financial burdens upon our children. We would like that. But dear friend, one might be able to provide the financial needs for himself and still not be able to provide the physical care, provide the food, provide for the necessities of life, to help them emotionally, spiritually. If you've got a father and mother and they are in need and they need help, it is a part of the command of God in honoring father and mother that you see to it those needs are met. Now, you may have to use a lot of different avenues, as I said, the most expedient avenues to provide, but God's looking to you to do it. And if we would do that, there's many a parent tonight probably that's very lonely, feels very neglected, indeed is neglected, that would no longer be if people would simply respect what God has taught. The conclusion of all of this is unmistakable and it is inevitable. Obedience and honor belongs to the parent when we are young. Honor and respect must be our attitude and action even after we are grown and they have become aged. It's a lifelong responsibility, a lifelong element, a lifelong duty. But is it not also a lifelong privilege to take care of mom and dad? They took care of us. We are their offspring. We are the very apple of their eye. They have loved us, and they look to us, and they have every right to do so. And it's a privilege as well as a duty. Just one or two other words, and then the lesson is yours tonight. You know, it's not unheard of for children, especially when they begin to break out of the shell and are approaching their years of independence, as we want them to reach. But it's not unheard of for children to pay more attention to their peers than they do to their parents. Pay more attention to their boyfriend and their girlfriend or someone with whom they associate than they do the instructions of father and mother. Young people, that's a good way to play the fool. That's wrong. That's not treating your parents right. That's not treating yourself right. And that's certainly a defiance of the will of Almighty God. There are young people who will take the advice of those who have proven themselves to be dope heads and godless perverts, and such as can be absorbed by sitting in front of the television, rather than listening to the advice and counsel and instruction of father and mother. Now, you don't want to make that kind of mistake, because it is a grievous mistake. It's more than just a mistake. It is a sin. And sometimes young people will even deliberately cast off the wishes of their parents in order to show that they don't have to listen to them anymore. Well, you'll hurt father and mother, be sure. Their heart will break over it. But you're going to reap what you sow. The law of sowing and reaping is going to apply to you. And when you ignore the advice and the counsel and the guidance of a godly father and mother, you are going to be the number one primary loser. And there's no reason for you to be a loser. We can and we do pity any child who disobeys and dishonors his parents. and we applaud, we admire, we exalt, we hold in high esteem any child, young or older, who will honor father and mother all the days of their life. I close my lesson by encouraging you this day to be sure that you do not neglect this commandment. Oh, our homes need strengthening. This is one way to make them stronger. It's the responsibility of those of us who are so blessed to have and have had parents. One closing word. The years will come and take their toll on you and also on your parents until they're gone. And you'll continue to honor them. You'll continue to have respect for them. You'll hear their voice as if they were speaking to you by your memory. You'll remember the words of admonition. And while you may not remember specifically many of the things that they literally say, you will remember their example, and you will hold them in high respect because they will have given to you the greatest gift that a parent can give to a child. They would have trained you in the way that you should go. Should not such parents be forever honored in our lives? Not just in youth, not just in maturity, but even after they have gone, and in our memory and our imitation of the good qualities that they exhibited before us. May God help us all to obey God by treating father and mother as God would have us treat them. If you're here and you're not in Christ, may I remind you of the way that the Lord has taught to become a Christian. It's quite simple, quickly stated, but nothing more important. Faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ, and then a life of faithfulness, which will include honor father and mother.